What is up, everyone? I totally forgot how I start this. Wait a minute. Oh, man. Let's try that again. What is up, everyone? Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Gamecast. This is episode 120. I'm one of your hosts, Kenny, and with me is Tess.
Hello, everybody.
And as you can see, we're starting out in all sorts of shenanigans. I don't know what happened. My brain just was like, no. I've been doing this a lot for so long. Even like last week when we recorded with a special guest, Andre, it was easy. It was just like, boom. And then all of a sudden, like out of my brain, it just whew, like flew away. I don't know
why.
Wait,
but anyways, do you have a concussion?
Not at all. I hope not. But yes, we are back with another episode of the Gamecast. And I told you Tess would return. She is back. You can't see her right now, but she's there. I promise you. This is not AI. This is a person that's with us right now and podcasting and all that good stuff. But yeah, I want to, we want to come back and, you know, make sure we keep up the momentum that we have going on right now with dropping content on the YouTube page, also the podcast. I see a lot of people talking about the stuff that we talked about last week. So I was like, yeah, we should definitely do another one. And we are here. But before I jump into the topics and stuff, I wanted to give Tess a moment if she wanted to share anything about, you know, recent occurrences or whatnot, or just to say hi.
Yeah. Hi, everybody. Life is hard. Life. I fell down the stairs again. So I'm just not having a good time.
It's been rough.
It's been really rough. I even have like a little cold on top of, you know, falling down the stairs and hitting my head.
It seems like the cold is like the mild part of that sentence.
It's definitely the mild part. You know me. I always tend to put an emphasis on the smaller of the bigger hole. This is legit the third time I've fallen in like a 6-month period. And I am not okay. I'm just not okay mentally. So yeah, like I did say on Twitter, I'm more than likely nursing a very mild concussion, seeing as I know what a very bad concussion is.
Yes, we have seen that. So thank goodness for that.
But yeah. So anyway, I'm here in the dark.
Yes, Tess has returned. And so what we're going to do, so we don't hold Tess for too long, we're going to jump straight into the topics. One of them being, how do we feel about movies being rebooted as shows? The reason why I wanted to bring this up is because I saw a recent trailer of The Burbs. So for the people who don't know what this is, it is a TV show starring Keke Palmer and Jack Whitehall. I believe Julia Duffy and Paula Pell, I believe that's how you say her name, is also a part of the show. And essentially, they are, Keke and Jack's characters are, you know, a new married couple. They relocated to Jack's old neighborhood where he grew up a long time ago. It's like a version of the suburbs. And a whole lot of stuff is happening. And outside looking in, because I know The Burbs, I've seen the original film. It reminds me of, let me actually explain The Burbs, the film first. So the film is 1989, starring Tom Hanks, Bruce Dern, Carrie Fisher, Corey Feldman. It's basically a guy who is on vacation in the suburbs. He sees his new neighbors move in, and they're really, really like odd. Think of like the Addams Family, and he swears that they're murdering people in their basement. And throughout the film, he keeps like trying to figure out what's happening over there. He sneaks into places and stuff like that, and he gets his neighbors involved, and they don't find anything. For the longest time, it seems like Tom's character just doesn't know what he's talking about. He's just paranoid. And of course, spoiler alert, you come to find out that those people are actually murdering people or have murdered people or whatever the case may be. But it's a dark comedy, so there's a lot of humor in, you know, the you know, whodunit shenanigans and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So the show is similar in that regard, because Keke is like, oh, something fishy is going on with some of these neighbors. But the thing is, it feels a little different because it's almost seen as like she's the fish out of water, as opposed to like in the original film, Tom Hanks' character is like he belongs in the neighborhood, not belong, that's a bad word, but like he's he is similar to everybody else outside of the fact that he's on vacation. And it just has like, you know, the guy who maybe they broke their leg, they can't go anywhere, so they're looking through a telescope at their neighbors and they're like, oh my God, it's a body, but it's really the person just taking out the trash. Is that kind of vibe? Whereas Kiki is almost like she's black in this, you know, in this neighborhood with all white people, and she doesn't belong, and she's being a little too whatever the case may be, even though from her perspective people are acting weird and there could be potential murders, like people are disappearing and stuff like that. And so the vibes are a little different, even though the premise is kind of similar. And I was curious of what people thought about it, because a lot of people who are talking about it online don't know about the original film. It wasn't a huge success. Like, it was a success, it wasn't a flop, but it wasn't really, really big. It became a cult classic over time. And that's what they're pulling from. The Burbs show is actually going to be on Peacock, I believe, when it drops later this year. And so, yeah, I'm just curious about how people feel about this. Now, granted, this isn't a new phenomenon, right? We had the, I was saying this off mic, we had The Twilight Zone was a show, then it became The Twilight Zone, the movie. And then we had a new reboot Twilight Zone show, you know, the Jordan Peele version or whatever the case may be. Whatchamacallit, there was the X-Files that turned into an X-Files film. And now Ryan Coogler is making his own X-Files, which I can't wait to watch. So, yeah, this is not a new thing. This is you know, this happens. But I kind of want to know what people feel about it, because there's always this disconnect when they go really far back, right? When they go to 1989 film, I remember the film. And I feel like a lot of people in their 40s will remember the film. But if you are younger, which is, this seems to be aimed at a younger crowd, would you remember the film? And then in that case, is it a nostalgia grab, or is it something like, you know what, this premise is really good. What would it look like if we brought it into the 2025s and 26s? And then in that case, do you even need nods to the original Burbs? Like, could you just make a new, because the Burbs itself wasn't unique. You know, like I said, that the whole idea of someone with the broken leg looking through the microscope or the telescope or whatever, that's an old thing. There's a couple of vampire movies that are like that. There's a couple of, you know, children, you know, think Goonies, but not the Goonies. Monster Hunt House is like that, actually. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's a bunch of that happening. And so it's not unique. So I'm like, why? And then it's like, well, why not? I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it. But I know, Tess, you were saying that there were some shows that should not have been made, you know, shouldn't have been made based off of films.
So Cruel Intentions should not be a TV show.
Oh, facts.
Yeah. I don't need to watch it to know. And I'm going to say this because I didn't watch it intentionally. It just happened to come on because, you know, my dog is a person, and when she's home by herself, she needs to watch her shows. And got I don't want to hear anybody coming for her knowing that she's blind, that she can't watch TV, because she can, because she's lying about being blind. She's not really blind. Okay, let's just get that out of the way. But she likes to watch her shows, and so I just have to put something on, and then hopefully it just doesn't turn off. So I believe that's how Cruel Intentions got on the television in the first place. And I may have fallen asleep to this because it was terrible anyway, but I didn't know what was on. I didn't know what was on at the TV. And I think that when I was like, I don't know what's on, let me just like pause this or something. And then it was like, ew, is this Cruel Intentions? What? Why is Cruel? Okay. And I had a whole lot of anger. I called my best friend. I said, hey, your favorite movie is a TV show, because Cruel Intentions is his favorite movie, and he can recite the movie line for line for line. Okay.
Okay.
And he's like, that shouldn't be a show. And I'm like, yeah, 100%. It shouldn't be a show. It's stupid. And I don't know what they were thinking. Obviously, again, trying to get this young crowd, because it definitely is not geared towards us who would have watched that movie when we were teenagers. Us, you know, watch that movie when we were like preteens, for real. It's definitely not geared towards us. It's geared towards teenagers now. And it really doesn't need to be. Like, the movie, Cruel Intentions, the movie is a great movie. Just leave it at that. Leave it at everybody who was in that movie acting as ridiculous as they were acting in that movie. Because let's not destroy Dangerous Liaisons, okay? Let's let Dangerous Liaisons be the literature that it is, which is actually pretty decent. And Cruel Intentions was a great remake. There's even a Korean remake of that, which is really good as well. But a drawn-out television series, that I don't understand. If you want to make a movie about rich high schoolers, just do that.
Yeah, that's the thing, right? It's like, why pull from this? And granted, there's a little bit of buzz because you pulled a name, right? Like, there's a name that people recognize, and so that'll lend itself to whatever it is you're trying to make. I understand you immediately get a step up in people's curiosity meter or whatever the case may be. I feel like I used two metaphors there, but whatever, go with it. But at the same time, it's like, why? Like, for instance, I didn't think they needed sequels. I didn't think we needed Cruel Intentions 2 and 3 or whatever, however many there are.
Those don't exist to me.
Right. So, you know, those metaphorical or hypothetical sequels should not be there. You know what I mean? So, like, making a show of it. And then it's also, like, the beauty of that particular film is the fact that it's very finite. Things happen and the consequences of people's actions is nearly immediate. And so
exactly
having it drawn out, just I don't know. I don't see what the purpose would be outside of the fact that this is something that people will talk about, complain about, whatever the case may be. And, you know, you potentially can make seasons of it. I don't know. I don't think it did well. I didn't continue watching. At all. No. So I don't know if it did well or not. I haven't heard anything else about it. So I'm sure it didn't do well. I'm not looking it up because I don't care. But
don't care.
My point, though, is that, like, yeah, it's the why. And I guess there's really no question or no, I don't know. You can't really, you know, put a finger on why someone would make a show like this.
Yeah.
And I think The Burbs could work. I do think it could work depending on how they write it. Looking at the trailer, it seems very interesting and comical. I don't think it's going to be as dark as the film, though, and that could be a bit of a letdown. And then also how you feel about Keke Palmer, like your mileage may vary there. If you're not a big fan of hers, you're probably not going to like this. And if you are a big fan of hers, then you will. And I say that as someone who watched her last film with SZA, which I thought was, it was okay. It was all right. I would not put it up there with the Fridays and the house parties and the whatever, you know. But it was okay. So, yeah, I could see it doing well, you know, especially being a streaming show. But I'm also like, it depends. It really depends on how far they go, you know, and who they're marketing it towards. It might not matter that you've never seen the film. They might not have any nods. There might not be any cameos. It would be dope to see Tom Hanks just pop up randomly. But I don't foresee that happening. That being said, because it's The Burbs and I'm a fan of that film, I will be checking it out. So I will have I will have some thoughts on it later when it comes up. So definitely come back here to hear what I have to say if you care. But I was just curious, definitely curious. In the comment section, if you have any examples of this and you liked, you know, a film being turned into a show or vice versa, let us know. Good conversation. Good conversation. Another topic we want to talk about was the worst TV show endings ever. Why did I bring this one up? Well, Stranger Things ended not too long ago and it has people talking. I personally feel like Stranger Things ended the way it should have based on what they were trying to do. And based on what I thought would happen, I also understand how, you know, people build up in their minds what should happen, how a show should end, how a film should end. And if it doesn't end that way, you know, there's problems. For me, so much is it good? You know, like if something doesn't end the way I think it should end, is it still good? Because then I won't care.
Right.
Like, oh, such and such should have got with so-and-so, but you know what? I'm not mad at this. It makes logical sense. It works. They wrapped up all the loose ends. There's no plot holes or anything. You know, the character that I wanted to die actually died. You know what I mean? Like there's some good in it. Even if it doesn't wrap up in a nice bow the way I thought in my brain it should, you know, happen. Because if you think about it, if it ended the way you thought it would happen, then someone else would be upset. That's kind of how this works, which brings me to The Sopranos. I'm one of the few people who actually thought that that was a good ending for The Sopranos. I'm not going to say what it is because that show is, it's old enough that you should know, at the very least Google, but if not and you want to watch it, it's still on HBO Max, so you can check it out. It's a classic show, just like The Wire. But I'm one of the few people who thought that that was a good ending because the
ambiguity.
Yes, that word that I cannot say for some odd reason.
It's okay.
That part of it I thought was well done. And I honestly think that there wasn't really much you could do that would end the show in a way that wouldn't bother people, because the show was supposed to end earlier anyways. Like, the whole extra season was kind of this weird pseudo, like, you know, dreamlike elements. There's some, because the main character gets shot and he's in a hospital, and there's things that's happening, you know, in his mind. You know, he's questioning choices, questioning people, and there's a war that was kicking off in certain areas, and so there's things that are happening. Things are moving very quickly, and ultimately, what you're supposed to get from it is that his fate is uncertain. His fate is uncertain because of all the mess that he's a part of. And so when the way it ends is like, oh, I can fit in what I think could happen here. And it all works. Any of the things that I think should happen could happen, and it would work for the ending of the show. And I think that was a smart way to do it, in a way that doesn't put a stamp on something, that would lean people, you know, left or right. However, when the last episode dropped, the creator, a director, writer, whatever, made sure to be out of town, like they're away from everybody, and they didn't look at the comments anywhere because people were losing their minds, right? Similarly to what's happening with Stranger Things. So I wanted to talk about some of the worst TV show endings ever. The easiest ones are, I think, Lost, Game of Thrones, and actually Lost and Game of Thrones are up there. I can't think of like a TV show that ends and what I mean TV show, I mean like a scripted type of show. I'm not talking about like you know, something that's more episodic, like Martin. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about like a TV show where like you had to watch every episode in order to kind of get what's going on. I think Lost and the Game of Thrones are up there. And what's so bad about those is that they didn't have to end the way that they ended. They really didn't. Which is
agreed.
Yeah, it's rough.
Aside from Lost, Game of Thrones treated the audience like the audience was unintelligent, and to me that was it was disrespectful.
Right.
Like, that's how I feel. I mean, somebody else might say that they don't think that way, but I'm sorry. Outside of just the production errors, just the fact that there's a coffee cup sitting in a frame shot. You know, that there's a water bottle sitting behind a chair in a shot. Like, those types of things are laziness, and that's disrespectful. So I felt that Game of Thrones ending was disrespectful because it made it, I felt as if they treated the audience as if we were not smart, as if we were unintelligent. Maybe we were unintelligent for continuing to watch after the sixth season, for crying out loud. Like, we should have stopped watching it back then. And I did, actually, for a while. I stopped watching it, and then I ended up binging before the final season because I hadn't watched it for 3 years, you know?
Yeah.
Because I was over it. I didn't actually really, I mean, I've told you all, I've said this on the pod before. Lost was just a complete letdown. I don't necessarily want to say that it was, I think it was disrespectful in the sense that I remember one of my friends saying that the creators of Lost had said before that they wouldn't take the show in a specific direction, and then they did it. I don't know.
Yeah, they were saying it wasn't going to be all a dream, that everything actually happened, and et cetera, et cetera.
Right. And then it's like, wait, what? This entire thing happened so that Christian Shepherd could lead you all to Jesus? I'm very confused.
The fact that the island was a weird purgatory.
Right.
And it reminded me, which is ironic or weird. Weird is probably a better word. It reminded me of the show that we were watching on Netflix, the Alice in Borderland, and what that was about. Whereas, but the difference with Alice in Borderland is that, and I'm not going to talk about season two. I have feelings about season two, that I don't. That's a whole nother episode, right? But the idea of like a purgatory state, like something happens, and it's really in real life, it's like minutes, but in their world, it's a long time, and it's because whatever they're doing will decide their fate in a way. Like wherever they go will decide their fate, their actions, whatever. And so it reminds me a little bit of that, but I think it's different because that was kind of, even though you didn't know that necessarily that they were in a purgatory state, it was let on that like this is a, everything that they're doing has consequences that affect them outside of this. Whereas Lost was kind of like, no, like the fact that you were saying like Ben, after all the mess that he does, everything that he pulls, it turns into he's asked to help the other guy, the new protector or whatever,
protector of the
to
island,
help him to keep the island or whatever. Like he's gonna be, he's given this, and it's like there was no redemption arc for him. There was no, I guess he's very smart. I don't know, like I don't know what actions led to what in terms of where they ended up, because they are all come back in like this purgatory type state where they realize that they're, oh, we were all dead this whole time and we're all here. And I'm like, what was the not Game of Thrones, but what was the Lord of the Flies stuff going on? What was with the polar bear? And what does this have to do? And that's, and I guess that's the point I'm trying to make, right? Like, Alice in Borderlands, your actions dictated if you lived or died in the real world. So if you died here, you died there, and how you, and it makes you look at how you treat people. Like, will I get over on everybody to make sure that I live? Will I sacrifice myself, you know, make sacrifices and stuff like that?
Right.
It seems like Lost, and granted, I'm simplifying it a lot, folks, so don't get up in arms, but Lost felt like no matter what you did, you ended up in the same spot as everybody else.
Right.
Or at least everybody that could come back for the season ending, you know.
We had several characters on that show that just disappeared. Their contracts ended, and then they're not in the final episode, which made absolutely no sense. So there is the disrespectful part, because it's like, I am not understanding this, guys. You have a character that apparently dies in season three. His contract is up. Okay, you kill him off. But if they were like dead the whole time, why is he not in the final episode with everybody else? This makes absolutely no sense.
Yeah.
It was very disrespectful. Those are the top for me. I mean, there were others along life, but I will never get over the pain and the sorrow and the scarring. I have scarring. Physical scarring from the betrayal. Lost was really a betrayal for me. Game of Thrones, like, we saw it coming. We already knew it was going to be bad. From that, there was no way that anything was getting better after season six. Okay, like I was actually not on board after season four ended, but whatever. But my point is that by season six, it was very clear that this was trash, that this was not going to be good. And it was just angering because, again, they treated us like we were stupid. But Lost was a betrayal. It is very hard to go from how amazing Lost was season one and then, you know, twist after twist. And it was like, oh, wow, this is really keeping us on our toes here, to then go to that. And it was just like, I'm sorry. I love the man who plays Ben, but he would have been the first person I killed when I became leader of the island.
But
for real, there's what show that I was just thinking in my head. It's gone. This is what happens when you have concussions. Thoughts just go in and out. It's gone. I had it and now it's gone. And it was recent. It's a recent show. Oh. Westworld.
Oh, okay.
Westworld was a letdown, but it wasn't the final season wasn't the letdown. It was the top of the pyramid and just slope just going down. You couldn't top season one. That's the type of show where season one was just art. It was art. It's never going to get better than this. And it didn't. Mind you, I do think the best episode of Westworld is in season two. But season one overall was better than season two. It's just that the best episode exists in season two. But then it just goes downhill. Season three was a betrayal. Season three was, what is this trash that you have given us? Why do you want us to consume this garbage? And season four did its best to bring that back. It did its best. And I know a lot of people were like, hey, because it got canceled. And Nolan and Joy, that's their baby. And we'll talk about Nolan and Joy again in a minute because we're going to another one of their shows. Perfect segue there. But that was their baby. And it got canceled. And so they weren't able to complete basically, I believe, their vision of what they started.
Right.
But season three was so bad, it has me questioning, were you going to be able to get it back? Because it was bad.
Yeah. And I want to make a disclaimer or clarification about like shows, because there's a lot of shows that, you know, especially on streaming platforms that get canceled before they're finished. So like we look at those and be like, oh, the show finished horribly, but it wasn't that the show was written this way. It's just like it for whatever reason wasn't popular enough, or you know, the ratings dipped a little too low and it got canceled before we actually got an ending that would justify whatever.
Right.
And so I totally get that. But that's not necessarily what we're looking at. We're looking at shows that actually were written to be done.
Were written.
And didn't work. And also this is outside of the idea of that maybe like a producer or a company that owned the show was like, we need to end this now. We were going to give you three seasons, but we're only going to give you two. So you need to end it now. And then you having to stitch things together.
Arcane.
For the consumer aspect of it. Yeah. For the consumer aspect of it, we aren't, not that we don't care, because we want people to work as well as they can, to be paid, you know, fairly, to not be, have to go through burn and all that, and all that. But the final product is what we're looking at, and the product isn't good despite or in spite of those things. And so I want to be clear in that, like, these shows were finished. They're written this way, whatever the reasons why they're written this way, this is just what it is. And this is what we got, and we don't like it. It's essentially is what we're saying. It's one of the reasons why I'm currently watching From, and I really, really like that show. And you know, the third or fourth season is coming up, and I'm like, ooh, I really want this to end well. And I think part of that comes from the fact that they're doing so well, but then also because your anticipation goes up. Like, oh, this is a really good story. And then like it ends on a cliffhanger that adds an extra twist. And it's like, ooh, this is going to be really dope once they like, you know, get it all together. But it's hard to not be cautious with these shows, because it's like, did you have this all together? Or were you like, hey, we don't know if we're going to get another season, so let's kind of have this end in a certain way that maybe the next season we'll wrap it up. And it's like, oh, we got green light for two seasons. Okay, we can extend this a little more. And before you know it, the story is not coming together the way it should have, because you got a little bit more time, a little less time than you thought. You know, it's not like One Piece. And I know I'm jumping genres here, but like with One Piece, because it's based on a manga, the creator is starting from beginning and end, and he's tying everything from the first season all the way to, well, actually, it's only one season now. I don't know why they did that, but all thousands of something episode is just one season now. Season two will be starting soon. But everything from that, everything goes together. So like we can see that this is coming towards an end. And even if we don't like the end, I feel like the creator knew what the end was going to be when they started. With these shows, I don't think they knew, or they had an inkling and it changed over time, or whatever case. I know with Game of Thrones, they didn't have an ending because the books aren't done. So
they're not done.
You know what I'm saying? They'll probably never be done at this rate.
They're never going to be done. And George apparently only told two people what the ending is. And for all we know, he told them different endings.
Exactly. Right. You know what I mean? So like a little bit of leeway there in terms of writing. But at the same time, I feel like if they were going to go the route that they chose, they could have done it a little bit better. You know, things can be written a little bit better and just, yeah. You know, even if you don't have an ending. You know, you can.
Yeah,
it's a difficult.
They also
thing
didn't
to
have
do.
To give us an ending.
That too. That it could have ended in a way that was a little bit more mysterious and whatnot.
Total cliffhanger.
That would still piss people off, but it wouldn't have been as bad. I don't think.
It would have made us all mad, and then we would have had been like, okay, well, maybe in 5 years they'll come back with the reboot. They'll come back with the. I mean, how many times has this happened with movies? Like, they had options. There were options.
That's
they
true.
Chose the option they chose, and they gave us the trash they gave us.
Well, they also, they were going to be leaving anyways because they had a contract, I think, with Disney or something that they were trying to do.
Yeah.
Like they wanted to start something new. So this was like, hey, we need to get this over with anyway. And I don't know if that's, because this ending could have been planned from the jump, like from before that happened. But it definitely lines up in a way that makes you go, I feel like this was rushed. And I feel like I know why it was rushed. But that's neither here nor there. And the last thing we wanted to talk about was the Fallout TV show, because Tess recently was able to watch that. I watched it when it launched last year. And I like the show. I'm a big fan of the game. Mm-hmm. Series, the game franchise or whatever. And I think that the show did really well in how it tells a story based on the game, because it does use like time points, certain people, but the protagonist is different. And with the Fallout games, the protagonist is always different. Everything that happens in history stays the same, but like you wake up in another, you know, vault and you go about your whatever your life is, whatever your journey is, and at the same time something is happening, you know, miles away. That story is a totally different story. And so this game lended itself to TV show because you could just make a new character and then just put them in the Fallout world. It worked pretty great. I like how half of the staff like knew about the game and the other half didn't. The reason I said that is because the people who knew about the game knew to put in certain Easter eggs, make sure that the dates were correct, make sure you pronounce this person's name the correct way, et cetera, et cetera. The people who didn't know about the game could be like, you know what, we need to make a good show first. Before we put in all this nostalgia, before we put in these Easter eggs, good show. With a beginning, middle, and end. For this, at least for the season. Because season two just started, right? And the culmination of all that makes a really good show. When you have people who are like, I never seen the show. I'm sorry. I never played the game, never heard of the game or whatever. You have all sorts of problems that go into that. And then when you have people who are like, I love the game. The game is amazing. And then they make a show and you get something that's really, really bad because they don't realize that certain video game elements don't translate well to, you know, TV.
Television.
It's like, ooh, this didn't work out the way I thought it would. You know, just sticking to the source material that freaking, you know what I mean? And so I think Fallout was a really good compromise between those two competing sides of, you know, creating or whatever the case may be. Those are my thoughts. What were your thoughts about the Fallout show?
I've been enjoying it. I keep it on repeat play. Hermione seems to enjoy it. I come home and she's sleeping to it. So I don't know. Like I said, I think she's a violent streak in her, and she's really like really, really getting Walton Goggins like ghoul because, you know. I've enjoyed it. I think we've talked about this on a different cast before we ever knew the show was gonna be a thing. We talked about Fallout because it's one of the games. Fallout 76. I think that's the latest one. That's the one that I have on Xbox, and I can't actually play it because I can't play first-person games.
You got to switch it in your options. You can switch it to third-person.
Yeah, I'm going to need to figure that. Well, I don't know. I haven't had access to my Xbox for like 4 years now, so I don't even have my TV anymore. So
that'll do it.
My big TV, but you know, the one I was trying to play Assassins on after my other concussion.
Yes.
But So I played Fallout Shelter. I mentioned this the last time we talked about Fallout. Fallout Shelter was a lot of fun. I played that on my phone and my tablet, and when I had one. And I played on my Xbox too. But I learned that a lot of games don't always translate across different medias. But it's the best on the, obviously you want a bigger, like it's best on like the iPad, because that's like the bigger screen to play on without having to use a controller. So I know all the Vault stuff. And I find the show to be very true to the sentiment of the game.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that a lot. Like, I feel like this is our second really, really good TV show that we got from a video game, with Last of Us being the other one.
Yeah.
I find it to be really entertaining. I do. I'm just like, I love watching Maximus get into his stupid scrapes because of his personality. I love how he's just so not, like, he wants to not be confrontational. He wants to fall into the background, but he just keeps getting put into all these situations. And he's like,
right.
What does he say in that one episode? He's like, it just keeps coming to me. He's like, right. I don't want death to happen. It just keeps happening to me. And I thought that was actually so peak Maximus, and that just made me laugh. So I'm enjoying the show. I really don't have like negative things to say there. I think that there are small things that I've noticed that probably shouldn't be there. Like, you know, I think that they're like just small production elements and then some continuity things where I'm like, and I don't know if I'm missing something from not playing the video game as much as I could, because I really couldn't get anywhere in it because I'm just so bad at those types of games and they make me nauseated. So like, I didn't get, I mean, as far as I've gotten in Fallout was me when I first bought the game, which was, I don't even know what year this was anymore, guys. I know it was when I lived at my old place. So it was a very long time ago, I feel like now. At least 4 years ago. 5 years ago? Was it 6 years ago?
Probably five, I'm thinking.
Whatever. Because I bought it after right after it came out. And that's when I went on the rabbit hole to learn about what all the Fallout games were about, because I was having so much fun playing Fallout Shelter, so...
almost anyway, 8 years ago. Good night.
Yeah.
That's wild.
I did say, I was like, it felt like a really long time ago.
Yeah.
But I've enjoyed, like I said, I enjoyed watching it. Like I said, there's little things that I think are really good lines that are delivered. They come across well. But then I'm like, wait a minute. You wouldn't have said that because that's not your life experience. But I think that anybody who doesn't play the video games wouldn't know that. If you're just a viewer, just a random viewer, you're not going to catch that. But I did catch, there's just small little things where somebody has said something and I'm like, that doesn't make sense. Because you, like, dwelling in a vault, wouldn't have said that because you have no outside experience. And so I noted they're actually, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, there's a line where Chet says, we're all cowards, we live in a vault. And I thought that was interesting because Chet has no other experience outside of a vault.
The only thing I can think of is when they talk about, it's been a minute since I watched the first season, but like there's a point where they talk about, because you know they have that big, celebration where they trade with another vault, and
triennial trade. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then they were like, there's a point where they're like, I don't know if it's the vault that they come towards, because there's a third vault that they visit, where they're like, hey, we got to send people up to get stuff because we're running out of things, and the volunteer rate is very low because it's very safe where they are. Mm-hmm. And someone making a comment of like, you know, nothing's going to change if we just stay down here type stuff. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know if it was along those lines, but I do understand it because each vault had their own. That's the big thing about these vaults is that they are all these, you know, world powers, or at least the powers that were in the United States anyways, mm-hmm. were like, this is how I think this society should be ran
right.
at a certain point. And so their vaults are basically big experiments.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so.
And 33 had no idea
yeah.
that they were in the experiment. Only 31 would have known because 31 is the managers. And it's interesting. I mean, obviously no one in, that's why I thought it was weird because like no one in 33 has ever experienced anything outside of. Like they never, well, Chet wouldn't have because he's too right. young.
Yeah.
I think at one point there was there a famine at one point? I think I forgot because somebody said something about, oh, the something of 72, you know, like some random year when they didn't have something. But again, Chet being as, you know, 25 years old or something, or however old he is, I really don't know. I just thought it was very interesting that he said it in the manner in which he said it, because I'm just like, I just don't. I get it. What's her face had already left. She had already left. And she's not a coward, clearly. But also, there, you know, yes. What is her name again? Lucy. Lucy's not a coward. Lucy's ignorant. Lucy is naive. You know, and so her leaving the vault could as easily be seen as stupid, as not. It's not about cowardice. She's not a coward because she left the vault to go find her dad. It could also just be extremely dumb. No right. one's ever been out there. Yeah. No one knows what's out there. And so when he says what he says to Norman, when Norman calls him a coward for not trying to find out what's going on in 31. And he's like, he says, aren't we all cowards? It's why we live in a vault. And I felt like that line was supposed to be very powerful. But I was just like, I was like, Chet, do you think that?
Potentially. If he is, and granted, this was after the Raider attack. Uh-huh. And he hasn't liked certain things anyways with how they do things down there. If he is looking at it from a historical standpoint and not his mm-hmm. experience, I could kind of see him saying that.
And that's, you know that's what I thought. I did. I was like, okay, maybe, you know, he reads books from a historical standpoint. Maybe that's what he feels. It just felt like a really good line. That they didn't want to waste
from the wrong person. Yeah,
from the wrong person. It was like they're like, "Hey, we got to get this in here. It's got to be in. It's got, you know." And it's just, you know, but that's just, I do, you know, stupid stuff like that, and where I just notice like little things, and I'm like, "Huh, that's interesting." Like why nobody got hurt by the glass in the first episode, the breaking glass.
Oh yeah.
Not one person got a cut on themselves, and glass went flying everywhere. Every window in that house is broken. Not one person had a cut on them. And
yeah,
and that show shows a lot of blood, so it's not as if like they can't show blood.
So. Yeah, and that's the you know, that's the TV magic of things, and people surviving stuff they shouldn't survive, and that's part of the, you know, going back to what we were talking about before with endings and stuff. People are like,
yeah,
Stranger Things, how come the, you know, certain people didn't die and all this other stuff, and it's like, well, that's not the way they want it to be. That's, I mean, because then you have to sit with it, right? If it's not what you expect, is it such a bad thing though? Like, oh, there's no way that, you know, this character can be, you know, knocked out of a tower and land on awnings and whatever, and like they only have like a broken rib, and it's like, okay, do I stop watching from here? Because I feel like that should not happen. But then there's like, oh, there's magic in this place. Well, that shouldn't happen either. Like, you know what I mean? Like you have to kind of decide where you want to be. But I do understand though, the idea of like people saying things that they shouldn't. That was an issue with The Last of Us, the second season. And it's a little bit more identifiable in the show than it is in the game. Because the game is very, I don't want to say, if people haven't watched the second season, I don't want to spoil what happens, but there's something that happens in the game and in the show that a character does something that doesn't feel authentic to themselves based on their previous experiences. And everybody makes mistakes, right? Is one of the things I was talking about in a previous cast where, like, you can watch a show and someone could do something really, really dumb, and you could be like, that is a dumb thing. Why did you write that? And then you go out into the real world and people do that exact same thing and you don't mm-hmm. question it. You know what I'm saying? And it's because, I guess, the idea that, like, you had to think to write that versus someone just being dumb in real life.
Uh-huh.
And so how do you write dumb characters? How do you write dumb moments and all that good stuff, knowing the information that you know? Could be this one of those things where, like, you know what? We need to get this line out. He's a good candidate for it based on his disposition. Does it fully work? Maybe not. You know, maybe we can have like a flashback or something, because I'm pretty sure he's going to have more to say later on. It's like, huh, I don't know. So yeah, that definitely happens. There's stuff that I notice with a lot of shows in that sense where I'm like, I don't know if this works the way you think it works. I'm going to go with it because I'm enjoying it. And that happens with me being a critic, like my brain, like, yes. I have to tell myself to stop.
just enjoy it.
Yeah. Because I'll be like,
I understand that.
Paragraphs in my head, I'm like, nah, because, you know, the way he was looking at Shorty, like, I don't know if she really realizes that she was about to die and all this. Yeah, it's not healthy. It's not healthy all the time.
It's unhealthy.
Good cast. Shout out to everybody that was rocking with us today. It's a little shorter than usual. Like I said, we're going to go ahead and knock it out this time. If you've been watching on YouTube, feel free to subscribe and hit that notification bell. If you're listening on Spotify mm-hmm. or Apple, whatever it's called now, because it's not necessarily iTunes. If you're listening on Google's, whatever, all the different places, Deezer, I think we're on iHeart. I could be wrong there. I have to double check. But wherever we are, if you are listening, add us to your RSS feeds and subscribe and all that good stuff. Because like I said, we have a lot of stuff to talk about. We have the show is back. You know, we're back, so to speak. And we're going to be doing a lot of shorts and a lot of different other things happening. So, and for the people who didn't understand, so I made a post on the YouTube page real quick about basically cleaning up the page, because I want people to see the Gamecast more than anything else. I was doing this already because initially the page was United Frame Gaming, where we would have like videos of stuff, podcast, other types of podcasts. We had video game stuff, and we slowly moved out of that when we started doing the Gamecast and focusing mostly on the podcast. And so a lot of the content that I've been posting as of late has kind of been both like Gamecast and video game stuff. And I wanted to be like, you know what? I want this to be like higher. So I hid those. Those videos are still there, but I hid them. So as long as you have the links, you can watch them. But I hid them so that when the YouTube does this old algorithm thing, it'll pick up these certain things first, and it'll push that to people so then they could come for the show. And those, the main things are, you know, the Gamecast clips, our show, All of the Sims, because that's really great. Film reviews that I've been doing, film and television reviews that I've been doing. I made a new section for that as well. So all those things are encompassing of the Gamecast, if you will. Yeah, I think I said that right. So yeah, so that's why the YouTube looks a little different, but it's functioning. It's functioning better. I've seen you guys subscribing. Appreciate you. Definitely appreciate you. People that are leaving comments, definitely appreciate you as well. Mm-hmm. If we talked about anything that seems interesting, or you want us to talk about something specific, definitely leave it in the comments below and I will check it out.
Yep. Well, that's it. That's it, everybody. We're back. And we'll see you in like a week or two or so. Okay. Thanks for hanging with us. Don't be a dick. Wash your hands. Wash your faces. Wash your butts. And that's it. Bye-bye.